closing my blinds as the natural light darkens even more. It was super cloudy and on the verge of a rainstorm. I stared blankly at my vanity mirror. I was still wearing the clothes I wore today. A red V-neck top and black jeans with my favorite denim jacket. My big curls rested on my shoulders as it frizzed at the roots because of the rain and humidity, and I didn't really care to perfect it this morning. My nails painted clear and cut short as I gripped my suicide note. Now I know what a knot in your throat feels like. As I turned on the music, "The Beginning to Tomorrow Is Today" played loud enough to fill my bedroom. I put it on repeat, so when Mom and Dad find me, they'll really know how I felt. Chapter 1, Football Season, 7 months earlier. September Fridays, a very academic and sporty time for the Mustangs. The football players are self-explanatory. They rule the school. The cheerleaders in their short skirts. The principal, who is a jock himself, may or may not be looking. Just a hunch. The new school year smell consists of craft glue and construction paper for the new bulletin boards and school lunch, specifically soggy pizza and tater tots. Me? I'm not very athletic, but the one thing that hypes me up every year is what musical Miss Twinkle has up her sleeve this year. I was in musical theater since I was 7 years old. I convinced my best friend Macy to join last year, and she loved it. She always said I was admirable for a lot of things. My hair was perfect, I had good posture, I dressed fabulously, and one thing we can all agree on, smiling was my hobby. It was since childhood. I was a happy kid, and throughout my high school career being the happy-go-lucky theater kid with glittery eyeshadow, time to ring it in with senior year. Although, I don't know why it feels different somehow. I normally feel an equal mixture of nervousness and excitement on the first day of school. But now I'm more nervous. I mean, Macy is not in any of my classes, considering she's a year younger than me. And she's not even in my lunch period for this semester, either. Whatever. I can't smell the new school year smell anymore, as the hallway clears and people are still getting to their class. Me and Macy were still shoulder to shoulder until we run into Freddie, one of my guy friends who wasn't very liked amongst other people. And frankly, I didn't understand why. I feel like he was misunderstood in a way. Freddy runs with a rumored dangerous crowd, and that makes me think that Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young might be Freddy's anthem. Mallory! Freddy's big, loud, excited voice filled the hallway as he hugged me excitedly with one arm as the other one held his books. "Hi, Freddy," I said to him casually. Then, Macy scared me as she greeted a chubby blonde girl who looked like no one should really mess with her, but her scary-looking scowl turned into a warm smile as Macy called out to her, "Katie!" Both girls hugged as I heard Katie mumble, "Hey, girl." Came out of my mouth in confusion as I tapped Macy's shoulder. She turned to me and it clicked. "Oh, Katie, this is Mallory. Mallory, this is Katie. She's been my best friend since grade school." Her name was Katie, and she was super chill. I'm always happy to welcome a new face into my circle of friends. I learned that Katie was a freshman, and she actually has high hopes to join the girls' soccer team. But soon, we all had to part. I'm left alone toward the cafeteria, where I literally have to mingle. That's actually the hardest part. I have friends and well-known around, but social skills is something I always lacked when it comes down to whether or not people like me or not. Now, one true thing from the movies is the awkward, you have your lunch tray and scanning the cafeteria millennial trope. Only two things. I've been through this before and I'm not the new girl. I find my attention to a place in the cafeteria I'd never been before. The courtyard. Wrapped in the middle of the high walls of the building, 4 green picnic tables, and a bench in the corner. Okay, life hack for you all. Don't go for that corner bench in the shade. Instead, walk up to a table with people and say, "Hi, is this seat taken?" That's how I met Macy and Freddie sophomore year.
Today, I did that to a cool-looking girl dressed in all red with red reflector circle-shaped sunglasses. She had long brown hair, and she either looked Hispanic or Indian. She welcomed me with one colored pencil in between her fingers and her notebook in her lap as she sat pretzel-style on the green bench at the picnic table. "I'm Mallory," I said abruptly after sitting with a short, awkward silence. The girl looked up at me and smiled as she closed her notebook to talk to me. "Hey Mallory, my name is Marisol Vade, both Hispanic and Indian, but most people call me Red. Judging by her wardrobe, but I liked Red. She was cool and surprisingly outspoken. She was a freshman too, and soon another guy friend of mine from my Spanish class last year had joined us, Alan."
"Hey, how are you?"
Alan was a close talker, with big, wide eyes, as I slowly said,
"Hi, I'm good, good."
Alan would look up to soon be greeted by Red. He was a happy kid, who had been planning to join the school play this year, too, with his bounce as he walked. You can tell he was an absolute nerd. But the three of us became inseparable. Me, Red, and Alan. It was a tater-tot friendship. We'd made the plan to get our lunch and meet in the courtyard, and whoever wanted to join us was welcome. Even though I lacked easy social skills, I didn't say I never worked extra hard to make friends. At the end of the day, me and Macy met at the main hallway where we would hang out before walking home, watching Kirsten pass out presidential campaign posters to everyone while Kathy follows her while nibbling on a cupcake from the bake sale. "Vote Kirsten" in big red letters on the header, and below Kirsten's face is blue letters for president. As me and Macy exit the front corridor, it is sunny and not as hectic as it was earlier now that the buses are gone. Macy suddenly snorts. "Oh boy, there's Chris Ariette, the socialite of what he calls our public school for peasants." I studied Chris as I felt my head tilt. He wore a perfectly crisp white tuxedo shirt with the sleeves cuffed mid-arm and was unbuttoned slightly to reveal a gold chain around his neck. A lint roller glides down his black dress pants down to his shiny black shoes. I watched him pretentiously rolling that lint brush all over himself, then primps his black curly hair and lip balms his lips in the side mirror before getting into that $250,000 white BMW, puts his aviators on, and drives off. "Man, to have a life like his, right?" Macy nudged me. Man, this was quite a day.
That night was the game. This was the first time I've ever been to a football game. It was nice compared to my usual lonely nights on my computer or watching TV. I was sitting with Macy and Katie on the high bleachers next to the loudest marching band ever. Why, you ask? Because Freddie was on color guard along with Kirsten and Kathy, and we supported him, as friends do. It was after halftime, and the color guard was sweaty and out of breath as they climbed the bleachers. Freddie smiles at me with his weird half-smile as he sits next to me. "You guys were great," I said in a shy, laid-back tone.
"You came,"
Freddie said out of surprise.
"Have you been to a game before or no?"
I shook my head with a simple smile. "It's fun, even if you have no interest in football or awkward, unsexy cheerleading." Freddie laughed at my comment. I described myself with these things as like a wallflower with my wallflower friends. I was never an athlete. Mom did put me in a lot of activities growing up, but it was still theater for me. It doesn't really require much coordination, which I lack thereof. Then I just realized that Macy and Katie had left to go down to the refreshment stand, so me and Freddie were left alone as our Mustang boys make the first hit. "Can I ask you a super out of character what the hell is wrong with her kind of question?" I asked.
"Sure," Freddie sounded suspicious.
"Oh my god," I said. "Freeze, it's not about my period." "All right, Mallory, chill the fuck out," I thought to myself as I had the last minute thought of why I sound so defensive. Like, I literally thought Freddie thought I was going to ask, "Hey, quick question about my fucking period." Whatever. I proceeded with the question. "Do you think I could be like Kirsten? Super well-known, outspoken, and academically has a good head on her shoulders? Like, after high school, she might be somebody, you know?" I was looking for a certain type of answer, a comforting one. But all I got was Freddie looking up at me past his black emo-like hair and said, "Kirsten is her own person, and you're your own person. But yours is special." I smirked smugly. "Special, like stupid."
"Mallory! My god, Mallory!"
I abruptly disciplined myself in my head. "Make it easy for Freddie to comfort you, please." "My personal opinion on worrying about the future," Freddie began. "I don't like to worry about it too much, because my present speaks volumes about my future. Let's just say. So, I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints." "The sinners are much more fun," I finished the referenced lyric for him. Freddie looked up at me, with his eyes twinkling in this new way I've never seen on him before. The other team got the ball to their side. The crowd boos. "Now it's my turn to ask a question," Freddie begins. The coach blows his whistle loudly at a rumble among players gone too far. "You know I liked you since grade school, right?" he asked. "So I've come to the conclusion to finally ask you, do you like me back?" I froze. Another whistle blows. Considering I hate conflict and awkward moments within my circle of friends, I was stuck because Freddie was a good friend to me and I was afraid of people's reactions to my intake. It would just get me nervous, so I pretended I didn't hear him as I stood up with the crowd to cheer at whatever's going on. I felt Freddie's eyes on me. I didn't dare look at him or I'll be sucked back into the question. Luckily, that's when Macy came back, but not Katie. "Where's Katie?" I asked Macy, who was holding her hot chocolate and took a sip. "She's in the parking lot with a couple of her friends. Apparently some senior brought a case of beer and now they're having a tailgate party."
"Well, that was unexpected."
"Who chooses beer over hot chocolate?"
I jokingly asked. Freddie chimed in. "Stupid people who just want to fit in."
It was just an awkward silence. Then Macy said, "Hot chocolate haters!"
"Yes!"
I laughed as we high-fived. Then our team made the final touchdown and the cheerleaders were running toward the field as we all roared.